I do want to thank Christina and the praise team for leading us into worship. It was a little different service today, and we thank the worship ministry team for the job that they do and creating this environment of worship for us. Well, I'm not going to be long today. In fact, I was thinking, Twyla, I was talking to Twyla on Thursday, and I said to myself, she says, well, Quentin is going to come, and I go, oh, man, Quentin is going to be here. It'd be nice to have that Hammond howl just a little bit. No, he's working today. All right, is there anybody who can play the Hammond for me? One day I will give you a taste of that. So I even got me a little song that I prepared that if he was here, I was going to do a little something for you. But you have to wait another time. So, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This passage of scripture has been alluded to during the play, and just want to just talk with you just a few moments before we proceed. When you find it, say amen. Luke chapter 2, 10 to 11. All right. Luke chapter 2. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Christ, the Lord. Which is Christ, the Lord. I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever had the feeling that God has been doing something very special in store for you or for your children? It's a feeling you get when you look into the eyes of a newborn baby and you conclude that this child will be different from any other child. We do it with Caleb when he's running around the church and we look at him and we look into those eyes and he's grabbing at all kinds of different things. We say this, and this is going to be a different kind of baby. You know, I said he's going to be an engineer. He's going to be into electronics. Christina thinks he's going to fall and bust his head open. But we see all kinds of things when we look into the eyes and we see possibilities. And we all have these predictions. But you can have a sense, especially if you're a mother, that your baby is going to be completely different from any other baby there is in the world. Ladies, mothers, can I hear you say amen? As we look into the scriptures, there are some very unique births that we see in the text, in scriptures. And I want to share these with you as it pertains to how we advance this morning in this brief message. We look at Isaac and Jacob, and they were the first two. They were uniquely born to parents in their old age. The third we see is Joseph. And Joseph was granted, after special prayer, a request from his mother Rachel. Fourth was Samson, born a Nazarite with supernatural strength for a supernatural purpose. Fifth, we see Samuel, who was the answer to his mother Hannah's prayer, but was given back to the temple for the service of Almighty God. Sixth, we see John the Baptist. He too was born to old parents and was given a special mission. While all of these were unique, the seventh and final birth went just beyond being a little different. It was a special delivery. It was the birth of Jesus. And so, for just a few moments this morning, I want to talk to you from the subject, Jesus is a special delivery from heaven. 2,000 years ago, he was. And 2,000 years later, he still is. Jesus is a special delivery from heaven. Why do you call it a special delivery, Pastor? Well, most of you know that I had an uncle that was living with us for 6 months and went back to Guyana last year. And a few weeks ago, I was preparing a small package to send back to Guyana for him. And in the box included some knives and gloves and some things that, you know, he wanted. And the box weighed about 22 pounds. And so I took it to Purelator, and the contents of the box, if it was all said and done, maybe came up to about $184 altogether. It was the cheap stuff from Walmart that he needed. But Purelator was going to charge me $527 to have it arrived in Guyana, special delivery. And so I thought to myself, the contents of the box is not worth the price for special delivery. But sometimes we send things special delivery because we want to make sure that it arrives on time and safely to its destination. And with some special deliveries, you even have to sign for it. Do I have any witnesses in the house? So I elected to go with Canada Post. So instead of sending it by air through Purelator, it's presently on a ship in some one of the oceans, traveling for $127 in about 3 weeks. That is not a special delivery, and should it be lost, we can replace those items for a lot cheaper than $527. And so as I'm getting this package ready for my uncle, I just couldn't help thinking about the fact that why do we call things special deliveries? And as I look at our text, I realize that Jesus was a special delivery from heaven because he just didn't send it by Canada Post. He got on to Federal Express, sent a message to some shepherds and a sheep in a field, got on to the electrical company, organized a bright light that would guide people to find this baby, announced it beforehand, rearranged the circumstances of the community so that this special delivery would arrive on time. Let me take you through some of the things that I see in the text today. It was a bundle of hope wrapped in swaddling cloth. The birth was not ordinary or just unique. The birth had special purpose for a special people, and we're going to find out what that meant and means to us. He was a special delivery. The text focuses on the good news brought about by the angel to the shepherds watching in the field. It was good news that would bring them great joy. And I don't know where you are today in your life, but the good news of Jesus, 2,000 years removed, still brings great joy to men and women. And you may be facing hell and chaos on the outside. But if the peace of God indwells you richly, you can smile on the outside, on the inside, while you're crying bucket of tears on the outside. I wish I had a witness this morning. That's some special delivery. It was an announcement of a special delivery. It was highly unusual because the angels themselves were operating Federal Express. The message that came back then was not a message of fear, but a message of great joy. Not just joy, but great joy. But I want you to know that for those of us whom have expressed faith in Jesus Christ, it ought not be about fear to us. And we may not know where our next meal may come from tomorrow, or on Tuesday, or on Wednesday. And we may not know what the doctor is going to say, But if our lives are in tune with His life, then there ought not to be any external fears that would keep us from living in an environment of not just joy, but great joy. Because great joy is not something that you can buy. Great joy is not something that you can whip up. Great joy comes from the inside, and somebody places great joy in you. That somebody has been given to us by way of a special delivery. It would mean mega joy for the children of Israel. It would mean mega joy for the shepherds. It would mean mega joy for every believer, including you and I today. The good news, of course, is the birth of Jesus. That is the same good news that lifts our spirits today. The reality that God is with us even now as we sit in this building ought to be good news and lift our spirits and give us a reason to be hopeful. The good news ought to be a reason for us to be cheerful. The good news ought to be a reason for us to be excited about life and all that life offers to us. The good news ought to be able to transform our mind and settle our spirits and lift our hearts and releases our burdens. The good news has the power to do that. That good news came to us through a special delivery. The birth of Christ was special delivery for the inhabitants of the world. It was a special delivery for three specific reasons. It was not just unusual because hundreds of babies were born in Bethlehem each year. So what is special is that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the first place. His father and mother were residents of Nazareth. And you know, sometimes we read these passages of scriptures and we don't really understand what's really taking place. But if you, thank goodness to Google, if you Google Nazareth to Bethlehem, it will tell you that it's a distance of about 80 miles. It's about 126 kilometers. So from here to Red Deer on the back of a donkey. It took Mary and Joseph an approximate time of about 5 days, because bear in mind, she's about to give birth, almost nine months pregnant, so you know they're not going at no 40 kilometers an hour. There is no turbo in that donkey. So it was snail pace. And they travel for 4 or 5 days in that condition. What am I saying to you? I'm saying to you today that God organized it in such a way that he used a political leader, Caesar Augustus, to call for a taxation, and he even gave the designation where each person was to go. And if Joseph and Mary did not leave where they were when they left when they did, the baby would not have arrived where he arrived. And so what I'm saying to you is that God sometimes orchestrates the activities of our lives. And he moves even in the political realm, because he moved on Caesar Augustus to call the census that forced them to move from one location to another location. There may be some of you in here this morning that's going through some stuff, and you've got to move, and you've got to get to another location, and God's got another plan for you, and you may think to yourself that this journey is going to cost me everything I've got. I'm going to be weary, exhausted, and tired, but in the background, you don't know what God is doing. And so if God is calling you to get on the backside of a donkey and make a 5-day journey so that he can fulfill promise through your life, then you ought to walk in obedience and submission to this wonderful, almighty God, so that you can be an instrument that he uses to fulfill his plan and his purpose to you. Now, It's not always going to be easy. Sometimes we end up in difficult situations. But if it's in the will of God, then we ought to make the journey. If it's in the will of God, then we ought to do it with gladness. If it's in the will of God, then we have to smile on the outside and on the inside while God is leading us from one destination to another. We live in an environment where we don't like to change and we don't like to move. We like to be comfortable and be settled. But if God is going to allow you to get to your full potential, He's going to move you from one place to another so that you can grow and develop in becoming all that He wants you to be. Bear in mind that Mary and Joseph not only made the journey one way, but they made it back the other way, this time with a baby. I don't know which one was worse, being pregnant or having a crying baby and a donkey. No matter how difficult the problem or the situations is in your life, I want you to know today that God is working it out for special ways, for special people, because He's a special delivery to us. And when that blessing comes to us at the time that we need it, it is indeed a special delivery. The baby was born in a manger, designed for animals in a stable because there was no room at the inn. That was not an accident. That was by design. Jesus came into this world in the lowest conditions so that He could appeal to all men, especially those who were born poor or without means. He could relate to us. And so when we are going through our struggles and not having enough and wondering where our next meal is going to come from, this is why we can turn to Almighty God, because He understands, He sympathizes, He's been where we've been. And because of that, we can hold on to God's unchanging hands regardless of our situation, and He will see us through. Now the text says He was wrapped in swaddling cloth and placed in a manger. Obviously, He was not born in the best physical condition, yet His delivery was special because it demonstrated that even though He was God with us, He would also be accepted by one of us. He would be accepted as one of us by the people whom He would surround. I was thinking to myself that when the royals had their baby earlier this year, you and I just couldn't get on an airplane and go visit. We didn't have that kind of privilege. But the Son of God came to us in a form that was open to all of society in a stable. This is what makes Jesus real to us, because He can understand and we can understand. He can empathize with us because He has been where many of us are and would be in some way, shape, or form. So God always blesses us in some way special. The place of our birth, the location, does not matter as long as we are open and surrender to God's will in our lives. This is what Jesus did. So you might have been born in the back of a taxi cab or in the hallway, some stairwell to the hospital, or maybe in a nice hospital room. But I don't want you from today on to make any excuses as to why you can't be and reach your fullest potential because of where you were born. I don't care if you are 24th in the family. I don't care if you're short, black, and ugly, or you're tall, white, and handsome. Regardless of what you are placed in, God can use you, and your birthplace and the family in which you were born in does not make a difference. As long as your life is submitted to Almighty God, He can use you regardless of where you're from or where you're not from. So you ought not be making any excuses as to why you cannot meet your full potential on this Christmas Sunday. And so in the eyesight of the Savior, all of His children, regardless of where they're from, are very special. That significance of being born in a stable, this is accessible to all. This is truly a special delivery for us. And then I began to think, Brother Brown, that those who witnessed this birth were also special, because God chose to reveal the birth of his son to shepherds. Now, if you know anything about shepherds, you know that these were not the smartest. They were not the the sharpest tools in the shed. Shepherds were oftentimes referred to as being a few French fries short of a happy meal. And they were at the lowest of the lowest of the lowest. But God, in his mercies, chose to reveal the presence of the one who would change the world to those who were uneducated and at the bottom of the pile. This ought to say something to you and I today. Because he's not looking for the best and the brightest. And don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with having a PhD. If God bless you with higher education, give God the glory. But God is looking for the simple, because he uses the simple to confound the wise. And so regardless of where you are in your stage of life, whatever your educational background is or isn't, God can use you in that context. Oftentimes he uses people who don't think that they have much to offer. And so I want to encourage you today that make yourself available so God can use you as a shepherd or in any other form that he so pleases. And the text goes on to say that the first people who saw Jesus were these shepherds. They weren't the brightest folks. They weren't invited over for Sunday dinner. They were not the cream of the crop. They were not kings, priests, scribes, or others of ruling class that were gathered to witness this special event. Those who witnessed the birth were shepherds. Shepherds were looked down upon, and it took very little skill, as I said previously, to be a shepherd. But despite the fact that they were considered socially low people, they were selected by God to witness the special event. And when the news came to them, Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 18 says, we see in the text their excitement. When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. It is important for us to know that we are not required to have the highest standard in life to be witnesses of the goodness of Almighty God. We just have to be willing to obey whatever he tells us to do. We don't need plenty of money or high positions in government to testify of God's greatness. Do I have any witnesses in the house this morning? And so while these men went to find the baby Jesus, they found him in this most humblest state. Even the most humble person can be a witness for Almighty God if they would allow themselves to be used by him. That is what makes the Lord's arrival a special delivery, because his mercy became available to everyone, regardless of race, regardless of creed, regardless of color. God gets ready to shower down blessings, to send them to everyone through his hands who is available to be the recipient of his grace. This is what makes the birth of Jesus a special delivery. His arrival was special. His life was special. His death was special. His resurrection was special, and his second coming will be special. Brothers and sisters, we must consider the birth of Christ as a sign from the Lord that he was about to visit his mercy on us 2,000 years ago. And it wouldn't be from a distance, but from a very special and safe delivery. A sign from the Lord is confirmed in the world, empowered by his Holy Spirit, and instituted by the hands of God. The prophecy had been given. A virgin would conceive and bear a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. The child would make his way through 42 generations to be born in Bethlehem. His birth was a special delivery. This delivery of this child was a sign to our world that was groping in despair, that there is still hope. There was still hope back then, and there is still hope today. And if we would hold on to God's unchanging hands, you and I will experience this hope. This child was God's sign to us. Because when darkness covers the land, he was able to turn darkness into light. Although war is talked about on every corner of our earth today, Jesus is still peace and goodwill to all men during the Christmas season and throughout the year. Although problems make life difficult, God somehow always make a way out of no way. I wish I had somebody who can shout on that this morning. This child is a special child, for Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the governments will be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called Mighty God. His name shall be called Everlasting Father. His name shall be called Prince of Peace." This delivery will be a sign of God's unending love to us, because I heard John said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The delivery will be a sign that God is with us. For I hear Romans 10:13 saying that whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wish I had somebody who knew how to call on the name of the Lord this morning. And this delivery will be a sign to them that when it's all over down here, that he's gone ahead of us to prepare a better place for us on the other side. That when the wicked shall cease, where the wicked shall cease from all of their worry and their work weary. The weary will be at rest. Every day will be Christmas Day. Always howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. I wish I had somebody here who understood the special delivery. And you can have a special delivery, but if you don't go to the door and open the door and let the delivery man deliver what's been given to you, you will not be able to utilize what's in the package. And some people have got the package under the tree, and they've never taken the wrapping paper off of it and utilized what's inside. Now, God never takes his gift back from us, but I hope somebody would have enough courage to unwrap the gift and utilize the gift this morning, and enable and use that gift in such a way to have not only joy into their lives, but peace down into their souls, and enable them to live a victorious Christian life. There's a special delivery for you, New Hope, and I wish you would make up in your mind to get it today, because God wants you to have all that you can accomplish. He wants you to have all that he's prepared for you, so that you can accomplish all that he wants you to accomplish this Sunday morning, not only today, but in every day of your waking lives. God's got a plan for you. Jesus is our special delivery, and I trust today, I trust this Christmas season, that you would utilize this gift that God has sent to us through his Son Jesus Christ, so that we can live a fulfilled Christian life on this earth, and then look forward to one day going over on the other side and keep the party going. It's going to be a party. And so, my friends, as you celebrate your Christmas season, I'm not too sure where you are in your life today, but I want to ask you, have you received the special delivery? Today, when we make a special delivery, if it's not claimed, well, normally they try to drop it off at your house, and they'll try it 3 times. And if you're not there, they take it back to the depot. And if you don't pick it up within a certain time, they send it back to the sender. But we have no reference in Scripture that our special delivery, if not utilized, will be sent back. It's here for us to utilize. I don't see God taking it back. I don't see him asking for it. You can reject it, but it's never taken back from you. Would you utilize your special delivery today? Would you utilize your special delivery this Christmas season and allow the presence and the power of God to fill your heart with the joy of this special delivery? Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I won't keep you. It's 12:02. You can still mix with Shelley if you stand real quick.